Good morning. Guys, good, right? I'm not used to getting up Monday and running somewhere. I'm used to resting from the weekend. I got up and it was pretty early when I woke up and I knew I had to get up this morning. Sometimes I'll just lay and pray and talk to the Lord and just reflect on the weekend and just, you know, it's just good. And it's good that we're here. I just said, oh, I have to get up this morning. When you do a weekend, it's nonstop. It's just, well, you'd have to go along to understand. I stay with families if I can because I like to be with people. And it's amazing. There's just as much happens then as happens in services. I mean, it's so impacting. It's fun. And they had a bunch of sons. And it was just good. It was nonstop. But you don't go to bed usually till about 2 in the morning. Then you get up and you have studies. They get the most out of you when you're there. They schedule stuff. And yeah, they took me to a prison and I got to go into the ladies' prison and the men's prison. So that was fun. So didn't get a whole lot of sleep. Drove home last night. And here we are this morning. I'm feeling all right, though. I really am. I'm feeling all right. I saw something in my Bible just a little bit ago and I want to read it. I want to encourage you all to stay real patient this week, okay? Because some of you might think, man, you're being pretty basic, etc. But I want you to stay real patient with where we're going this week, okay? Because I'm not going to just preach to you. I'm going to talk to you about just some things and try to paint a picture so these truths become our reality. And kind of break it down to where how that happens. Because I think that's what sometimes we miss. We know what the Bible says. We know it's true. We hear it and go, yeah. But how's it really become mine? And how do I really become free to where I'm looking through truth and actually seeing life through His eyes? That's probably why we're at this school, I'm hoping, because that's why I'm here, for that to happen in our lives. So if you're not here for that reason, sorry, you're here. Let's just somehow meet in that place. Because sometimes I think we live off of certain manifestations and miracles and healings, and they kind of give us like a whoosh, and we ride along on those things. But I like all those things. I'm not turning away from things. I'm going after this. You saw God just heal a lot of folks this weekend. It was fun. And I really didn't pray for hardly anybody. I just had them all stand, and they prayed, and we kept working with them. They were testifying one after the other. A lady came from New York, needed a new hip, and she drove down from New York to be in the service. And she's going up and down steps for the first time in 5 years. And she's lifting her leg the whole way up to here and just bawling. And they want to do the surgery like next week or something. And Jesus just kind of went in there and does what He does, or whatever He does. He's the Lord. So it's just that stuff's fun. And we just had a real, real good time. Yesterday morning, the place was full. They have 2 services. It's a big congregation. It's probably 500 folks or it might be more. I don't know. I don't know if it is that many. It's hard for me to tell. But it was a big sanctuary, and it was full at the 9 o'clock service. I thought it was full. It was pretty full. And in the 11 o'clock service, it was really full. And I was like, whoa. And I was up in Russell, PA, Warren, Pennsylvania, real close to the New York line. So in the morning, at the end of the service, I said, man, I can count on one hand how many times I've done this in the last year, probably. But I said, I talked about water baptism. I talked about getting born again and what it really means. And I said, there's folks here. You've heard a message so clear and your heart is touched. You're convicted. Your life's in front of you right now. You realize where you're living from and you see where God's called you to and created you to. And you're ready to make that transition and be water baptized for the first time and get truly born again. You've never been water baptized. You've never really been saved, but somehow you're here this morning. And 4 people, I said, I want you to just be bold and stand to your feet because I know you're here. And 4 people just stood right up to their feet and it was just fun. And then they were making arrangements to take them and water baptize them because, you know, I ended up hitting the road. But it was just fun to see because there were bawling and they were crying and it was just good. One girl was a prison inmate that wasn't at the prison where I was, but she was there and somehow she's on some sentence where she could actually, she was able to come to church. So I'm not sure she's on work release. She come to church. It's probably more of it's a short term crime, I guess, but they're giving her liberties. So she came to church, heard the gospel and she was undone. She was a wreck. There was a girl that's been ministering to her at prison, and she just was just, she is so wrecked. She's wrecked. I said, wreck's a good thing. Wreck is God. Wreck's the good thing. So we just had fun. And, yeah. Then I got home and it was early and it felt like I couldn't go to sleep. It was earlier than I usually go to sleep. And I was on a 2 a.m. schedule. And I laid awake a little. I didn't sleep that much last night. It's unusual for me. But so I'll be good. If I fall asleep while I'm preaching, just at least pay attention because he'll keep speaking. Okay, because I'm just yielded. So he's, you know, you always say he speaks through you. So if I take a nap, don't be distracted. Just keep hearing the voice of the Lord. Couple little quick thoughts. When you hear somebody pouring out their heart, when you see passion in their heart, when you see reality in their life, when you know what they're saying is real and it's not your reality, don't let what they're saying weigh where you're not. It's the biggest mistake. That's not a kingdom mentality. We're just laughing about the half full, half empty thing. And I said, it's, you know, half full is right, Pam. That's definitely kingdom perspective, half full. We know that, right? But at the same time, sometimes we'll hear a message and say stuff like this. Oh boy, I sure got a long way to go. That's honestly, it's subtle condemnation. It's the subtlety of condemnation. It's weighing yourself for where you're not instead of growing from where you are. You're not troubleshooting, you're growing in truth. So you have to be very careful. The clearer the message, the more convicting. It's raising the banner. It's lifting the standard. It's actually opening a door in your understanding to pass through and rise to that place. It's not about where you're not. It's never about where you're not. It's about where you're heading and where you're going. Even Paul said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't attained. He wasn't beating himself up for where he wasn't. He was pressing to where he was going. So be very careful. I've learned over time that people sometimes, and you don't realize it because they don't show it. People hear the word inside in their heart and in the counsel of their mind. When they're hearing the word, they're like, oh, wow, that was amazing. But when they're in the counsel of their own mind, they're thinking, boy, I am nowhere near. Sometimes as far as wondering if they're even saved, man, I wonder if I'm even saved. See, that's not the purpose of truth. Truth isn't so you weigh it against yourself to find where you're not. It's to where you're called and heading and you want to go there. You guys, it's easy with you guys. The commitment and sacrifice you made to come to this school says everything about your heart cry. Come on. That's just like ridiculous to me. I'm thinking you guys are amazing. I was so humbled Monday last week. I stood here and it was emotional for me. I had to contain it. I was like, just seeing you guys sitting here. I looked over. I saw Dean sitting there. I even made a comment and I didn't want to make him feel bad. He's like, well, why are you pointing at me? It's not that. I was just looking and I just kind of verbalized it because I realized it takes a shift, a sacrifice. It makes a statement that I've made whatever necessary happen to be here. That says everything. See, I'm going to cry now. That's like amazing. So your hearts are incredible. If you think one negative thing about your life, it is so not God. It is so not God because it'll keep you from walking in righteousness. It'll keep you from having an unveiled face. It'll keep you from growing in the very thing you're crying to grow in. It'll keep you from intimacy. You'll do what Adam and Eve did, and you'll kind of tend to hide a little bit, even though you're wanting to be found. Y'all okay? Is it my preaching already, Consuela? Is it my preaching already? I mean, is it that bad already? Thanks for being honest. Will you all like pray for me so it gets clearer? I thought she said, I've had enough of this on a Monday morning. No. It was good when you raised your hand, when she raised her hand for prayer. Were you guys in the school, man? Begin to be one another's friends and talk about that stuff. Even before you sit down, you just grab a couple of people. Hey, I got this going on, dude. Will you pray? Here's a great place to begin to express the things that are coming alive in our hearts and already built in our hearts. blessing one another, praying for one another, take interest in one another. It's a good thing. So I think that's beautiful that she raised her hand and asked us to do that. So take interest in one another. Let's get rolling. And maybe it'll just seem slow to me. I'm gonna go so basic today in some things and talk about some things. I'm not gonna preach a lot of scripture as much as I'm gonna try to explain some principles of how to pursue revelation. Does that make sense? Does that sound good? Does that sound like a good topic for us all? And this love thing, please just stay patient this week. I don't know why I'm saying that or who I'm saying that for, but don't miss what God's purposing to do and say and do in our hearts. Let's Proverbs chapter 2 real quick. I just read this back there. I was actually looking for scripture. I felt like the Lord bumped me into this. You know, I read Proverbs a bunch. I'll just get on a little Proverbs kick. I'll go through seasons where I'll just read a couple Proverbs at a time, and it's like, whoa, whoever did that? You read Proverbs and they're like, they just make you, it's like, whoa, yeah, that is like, wow. And if you notice, a lot of the Proverbs are 180 degrees from what we were thinking most our life, which is important to read them because that's what tweaks your mind. That's what brings you to redemption in your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? So if it's the wisdom of God, and if no man ever had wisdom like Solomon and he put it on a page, you probably ought to read it. Probably be a good idea to at least see what he's saying, right? Because I don't know about you, but when I read this stuff, it brings light. It's like, whoa, you know? Now, this is just going to be a basic principle when I read it. I was looking for the proverb. Somebody might be able to help me. I don't know exactly where it is offhand. I don't know scripture and verse. I just know it's there. I could, if I had time to cross-reference it, I could. But I didn't have that opportunity. In all you're getting, get understanding. What's that? 7 or 8? Good deal. If you can find it, that would be good. Then we can look at it and at least see it's there. Because I know it's in the Bible. No, I've read it a whole bunch of years. I've just kind of lost, just where it is, just slipped from me.
Right
after Psalms. Yeah, in all you're getting, get understanding is in your Bible. Think about what that's saying. There's a lot of things we're trying to get. You know, blessing, get a lot of things. We're trying to get a lot of things. 4:7? You guys are awesome. Thanks. Yeah. I have a new King James. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, I used to have a fellow that taught me that wisdom was the ability to apply knowledge. That's a cool definition. But look what it says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is like such a big deal. And sometimes we reduce the Bible to principles. They're truths that we accept. We know they're right. We know it's the way it is, but it's not the way it is in us or with us. Getting understanding is actually the simple key. Getting understanding is the simple key to that becoming yours. It's kind of like this thought. What's this really mean? Continue in the Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth, what? The truth will make you free. What makes you free?
The truth.
Do you see how that's this same thing here? In all you're getting, get what? Understanding. So what will make you free? The truth. The truth will make you free. The understanding of the truth. When you go, oh, whoa, and you see it, there's a place to see it personally into me. Now this thing I said beginning when we started about not seeing yourself less than. Guys, I'm going to make a straight, raw statement that might sound to some concerned. Even if you're aware of an issue or a weakness in your life, it doesn't change that you're worth the blood. You're precious to God and He's not mad at you. He doesn't want you to take the initiative to just change that and lose your identity over that. You're already aware of that. There's a place for you to work that out with Him. But if you try to just work that out so you can be with Him, that's backwards. You're not going to change apart from Him. Your life's not going to change apart from receiving His love and staying in His presence and keeping those fig leaves off of you. And even if you feel a little naked and exposed in His light, just be glad that He loves you unfailingly and He sees the best in you. And just go ahead and stand there naked if you have to. He's your Father. It's like a little kid and a father. They don't even think nothing. Man, a little kid strip his clothes off and run around in the crowd. So if we would all truly be redeemed, we could have probably came here unclothed and not thought anything of it. Because that's how Adam and Eve were before they ate the tree. But we're not going to start that. That would probably be labeled a caught, and we'd probably all not do well. I was talking in the Methodist church. There was a lot of elderly folks there, very elderly folks. I was talking about how we've lost our innocence and how it was in the beginning. And even though Christ has come and redeemed us, we've still lost our innocence. We're very self-conscious. I said, like right now, ladies, if your dresses would just disappear. And they went... It was so funny. I said, you'd be grabbing Bibles and hymnals and you'd be like... Why? Because we're extremely flesh conscious and extremely violated in the innocence of what we see in Genesis before the fall. And they were like, did he just say that? Is he? You can tell it shook everybody up. It was so funny. It was funny. You'd have had to been there. Let me read Proverbs 2. So these are keys. In all you're getting, get understanding. Continue in the word. Continue in the word. You know, this is why it's faith. And don't get frustrated with faith either, okay? Don't be like bothered by faith. Like, why has it got to be faith? Why is everything by faith? Be so glad that it's by faith because God's teaching you to live free from sensuality and the things you feel and see. Because God's real. The greater reality is who God is in the face of natural life. So faith takes you to a place that nothing moves you but Him. So faith is your friend. Faith's a good thing. Faith's not like, I'm so tired of living by faith. Don't do that. Don't, because you're missing the beauty of faith. You don't want to be limited to live by how you feel. You'll be a wreck. Come on. Because if you don't understand faith, you'll feel like you're not, you know, if you're not feeling good, you're not doing good. No, sometimes not feeling good is just a deception. It's just a thing that used to own you before you were saved. Might be a little familiar spirit sneaking in and just trying to suppress an area of your emotions. Just come in, whisper a thought to you, and you kind of take it to heart a little, and then there's a feeling attached to it. And next thing you know, you're suppressed. And then you think that's who you are. Now you need prayer and you need something lifted off of you. Then you probably just lift your head and lift your heart from whence came your help and just separate yourself from that because it's not who you are. But it takes faith to do that. And if you don't understand faith, if I woke up, this thing is so real in me at this point. If I woke up and felt like somewhat discouraged for some reason, sounds kind of funny now that I just used that. I just got silly. I thought, isn't that cool? I thought, what? Wait, that's, I don't even connect with that. I'm so not discouraged. I don't even understand it anymore. So that's probably not the best. Okay, let me use it anyway. So that's how I wake up and I just feel a little bit like, okay, this used to happen to me a lot. This is good. This is vulnerable. This is awesome. One of the strategies of the enemy used to be in my mind, what you're doing isn't accomplishing anything because people really don't want God. I used to hear that all the time. They just want what He can do for them. People really don't want to give their lives to God. Most people are just selfish, and what you're doing doesn't really change a thing. What you're doing is not accomplishing anything. And I knew it was counterproductive thought. I knew there's times that I actually felt that way or believed that in situations in my life. So it came because I began to believe that in situations in my life and certain people and situations I was directly in and hours of spending time and counsel with certain folks and things. I started to believe that, man, I don't even know if they really want God. I think they just want blessing. I don't even know. And I would start to get that in me. And then I would deal with that in my heart because I don't want to project and presumption. So you start through those things, you get to God with those things, and He puts a maturity in you. It helps you to see and believe the best and understand the kingdom is seed form. And no matter how they're responding or whatever, truth is their best friend. And if I fail to put it in them, there's no crop to come. So the highest deception is to label somebody. as if they're not sincere or they'll never change or whatever. Even if that's true, if I put truth in them, if I sincerely love them, if even if they're not sincere and I'm sincere towards them, something can get deposited that the Holy Spirit can work with and bring a shift in their life. But if I judge them and get presumptuous, judge a book by its seemingly cover, I'll fail to release faith that's there in my heart, really in my spirit, to be released so that a seed can go into their life and God can work with that seed. Does that make sense? Okay. So because I used to be vulnerable in a season of my life to think that, that was actually the last time that I remember being discouraged, but I didn't know I was. You know how things sneak up on you? You know how you realize at a time that you've been a certain way for a while and you didn't even realize it until it's obvious and it's like, whoa, that's been happening to me for a while. I've been thinking that way for a while. I went to kneel at the altar one day just to thank God for being so amazing. It was a Sunday night service at YCF and they worship was awesome and they're just flowing and I didn't even want it to stop. And I was just having one of those times. I didn't even want to preach. I was just like, you know, and I'm go up and I kneel down. So I'm not thinking anything, but you're amazing. I kneel down. And as soon as I knelt down, he slipped up to me and said, why would you be discouraged when I'm the God of all hope? And I'm like, oh, discouraged. And when I went like that, I saw what it was. He just showed me. He like opened it up like a whole picture of what it was. And it was being I was believing that the people in the church were taking God for granted, were selfish, and just wanted what he could do for them, that we didn't really want to live this Christian life. So as a pastor, I was believing that. That's not a good day. Because you start whipping sheep and you start beating sheep. <It's> like, line up. Give your life to God. No, you're just, it'll, what you start, what you really believe comes out of your mouth and it'll project. In other words, you'll start projecting. You won't be hearing the Spirit and what he's trying to say to the people. You'll start preaching out of what you believe about the people. Your messages will start to come into agreement with your projection. Does that make sense? That's why you don't want to project on people, because you'll treat them. That'll come out of your mouth in some way and there'll be a hidden message behind what you say to them. Because you're trying to make a point, like, get it? Hello? But it's because you've already labeled somebody. And it's projection. If I would do that from the pulpit, that would be sin to me. That would violate my conscience. That would be sin for me to feel like there's problems in this room and not talk to you on an individual, personal basis to find out if that's true, but to assume that's true and then preach that from here to try to get you to get it. That's projection. There's no anointing on that. That would be sin. And it doesn't cause good things. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Which is a trap for the preacher because he's feeling like he's pastoring the people. Like he's giving them what they need. Instead of what God said. This is important stuff. The Lord showed me a prayer. There's tons of ministers doing that every time they preach. It was one of the most cuddly experiences I ever had with God. I woke up and he was like laying on me. It was weird. He was there. I couldn't even move. He was loving me. It was so sweet. And I didn't even know what to do. And he kept saying, whew, oh my goodness. I thought I was okay till right then. He kept saying, I'm proud of you. It's one thing for you to prophesy to me that God's proud of me. It's another thing for him to be laying in my bed saying, I'm proud of you. He left me get that out. I thought I was toast. I thought, God, I just opened a door I can't go through. Because you have no idea how messy that morning was. I was crying so bad in bed. I didn't even know what was going on. And he just kept saying, I am so proud of you. Go. And I said, I could barely speak. I said, what are you doing? I was almost like, what? Why are you doing? I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to be any good forever. I mean, I felt like I'd never function again. Really, I was like, it was too much. That's what it felt like. It was almost like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? There was things going on behind the scenes that I was aware of, falsely being accused of stuff. It was just terrible. It was that gossip thing that's unfortunately in the church. It's people putting you on a cross. They've never even talked to you. It was just one hurting heart that misread something that spread it. And then you find out how that potential of cancer is actually right in the house. You know, it's like, duh. But yet when I found out about it, all I could do was love people through it and talk and share truth and people got really whacked by the love and conviction of God and repented, and it all worked out beautiful. But that night I had to preach, and I preached, and that morning I woke up and the Lord was doing that. And I was like, he kept saying it over and over, "I'm so proud of you, I'm so proud of you." That's an amazing thing when God's saying that to your spirit, when it's God the Father. It's hard to even bear. Here it is years. That was so many years ago, I can't hardly talk about it. That stuff will mark you. But there's something about living in integrity. There's something about not loving your own life unto death. There's something about this message I preach about not being offended and hurt. Because when you're not offended and hurt, you will always spill pure water. If you're offended and hurt, that water's tainted. There's strange fire. There's twisted motives. Now you're on the platform to be right and to prove you're right. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on in ministers. And that's what the Lord showed me that morning. And he said, you didn't let anything influence your motive of preaching last night. And all those things that affronted you had nothing to do with what you spoke. You just preached my heart for the people. And there was no connection. I am so proud of you. And then he told me that countless people that are called into ministry are preaching every time they preach through hurts, through pains, through beliefs about people. And projecting from the pulpit to push the weight of their belief, using that as the authority and the avenue to push the weight of what they believe about things. Instead of hearing what God's saying and just speaking the heart of God to people. This is important in your personal life, what I'm telling you. It's huge in your personal life. Because if you just start watching John Zellmer and for some reason see something through a certain screen in your own soul, and all of a sudden you see something for what it's not. And you never deal with that with John. And you just start getting a belief about John Zellmer. Then when you're in a conversation about John, that'll reflect. Sooner or later, it'll get big enough to come out of your mouth, not to John, but to somebody else. Then you put that seed in them. Or when you talk to John, you actually talk to John through that belief system. And something's just not healthy. Because you've already assumed something. Does this make sense? Yes. It's very important to be free from yourself and projections and judgments. And know that everybody. Who was it that said to me? Somebody in here, I think. We were talking about digging the gold. And somebody said, you can't. Tell me if it was you, because it was a neat phrase. You can't dig for gold without coming in contact with dirt. Is that you? Did you say that to me? Somebody said that to me. I don't know where I heard that, but I like that. I thought, man, God's not afraid of the dirt because he knows the gold's there. He's not bothered by the dirt. He's after the gold. We get so fixed on the dirt that we forget there's gold. Come on. It's a good word for us. I can feel that one. We get so dirt conscious. We're like trying to clean up. So much that, watch, our identities go into crisis, and then we have a hard time facing him face to face because we're aware of dirt. The only reason he sent his son is because he's aware of gold. The fact that he sent his son removes the dirt. The son removes the dirt. He's like the heavy-duty pine saw or whatever. Whatever. I don't know what a good cleaner is. You girls would know better than me. But he's like the heavy Clorox something. I don't know. But Jesus is amazing. He'll make you white as snow. So is dirt the issue? Or is gold the issue? You have to be very careful. You're not your own worst enemy now that the gospel came. Okay? So I'm charging you. If you're being hard on yourself, if you're just fault finding with yourself, if you're just, oh, you dummy. That is utter, total, complete deception. And it'll never take you to the revelation that you're in this class for. How's that for distinct, straight talking? It'll never take you to the place your heart's crying for. And sometimes the only reason your heart's crying out like that is because it's a desperate cry, because you've weighed yourself so less than this truth we're preaching. And it makes you feel desperate. And you're never called to feel desperate. You're already His. He already loves you. He already knows who you are. He's already settled that before the foundation of the world. He already knows the truth about you and saw fit to send His Son and crucify Him on a cross. He already knew from beginning to end, and He still sent His Son. He didn't say, well, let's give it a shot. I hope they pan out for me. I hope they get it and this works. We'll see. Let's roll the dice and see. Come on. Some people are afraid to preach this way because they feel like it gives people permission to remain the same. You guys aren't, it's so easy to preach this to you guys. You guys aren't in this class to remain the same. I'm not afraid of preaching a gospel that you're going to hear it and mush the gospel and have a permission to like sin or live in unrighteousness. Are you kidding me? None of us woke up looking for permission to live in unrighteousness and cover it with some kind of gospel. Right? So I have great grace to talk to. I guess I have to get back there in the back. Go ahead.
I have a question about wisdom. Isn't Jesus the wisdom of God? And
you're like preaching my sermon already. That's awesome. No, that is so good. We're going to look at something in a moment. Okay? We'll look at something in a moment. That's awesome. That is so cool. Did you hear what she said? She said, isn't like Jesus the wisdom of God? Yes, He is. And watch this. Outside of Him, there's no wisdom. He has become for us the wisdom of God. We're going to look at that. Okay? Ooh, you're on it, girl.
I have people that say that Christians don't have cheap grace because in the real world they see a lot of things wrong.
Right.
They say we're, you know,
cheap grace. See, if you incorporate God into your life and you're just in this thing for God to just as a life insurance policy, or then you're gonna, then you, if I, you have to be careful when you preach the gospel. You guys hear how I preach it. I preach clear righteousness and grace and God's love, and at the same time call us to extreme truth. Like this weekend, man, it was so sharp. I'm telling you, the sword was like, oh man, there was so much circumcision going on. We had flesh laying everywhere, baby. And one young girl rose up and said, I'm more confused now than when I came. Are you telling me I can't like just swear? Why can't I just keep swearing? And because she was, the people that were leading her to Christ were teaching her that God, hey, God loves you the way you are. It doesn't matter what you do and what you, that's not what we're preaching. But that's how they were conveying it to her, to keep her in the game. But she was interpreting it as, hey, God loves me as I am, so I'm going to stay the same because He loves me. And she was actually demanding the right to live in the flesh through her interpretation of the gospel. So there's people out there, there's groups and circles of people out there that have come into this gospel not to be transformed by His nature. Some of that's leadership. We haven't preached the gospel clear. We've actually come to Him for what He can do for you, instead of how He can make you more like Him. We've just preached come to go to heaven. You know, God loves you as you are. And all you got to do is pray this prayer, go to heaven. He knows all your mistakes, failures, weakness, faults, and He just loves you. Well, there's a truth there. But His whole desire is to transform you back to His image. That's what you guys are aware of. You guys want to look through His eyes. You want to live through His heart. You want to see humanity exactly like He sees them. You want to see yourselves exactly like He sees you. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that why you're here?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's people that don't have that motive. The pure in heart shall see God. So if you have any other motive, remember how I said in the first week, you're not going to live above your motives. You're not going to, your motives, your ceiling. You're not going to rise above your motives. So if you're just incorporating God into your life, you have no conviction for a life transformed, just God for you, not God through you. So all of a sudden there's a cheap grace expression in that. It's like, hey, well, He loves me. I have people come, well, God knows, God loves me. I've had people come together living in fornication and they say, oh, well, you know, God knows we have desires. I mean, He gave us desires and affections and He made us certain ways. So, I mean, we know we shouldn't, but, you know, we should probably get married. But, well, you know, when we fall into that, we just know He loves us and He'll forgive us. So we say, forgive us, God. And then a couple of days later, we just find ourselves there again and He knows we're weak. And that's, you know, He's the one that'll make us strong. He knows our heart. That's the one I hear a lot. You don't even want to tell me that stuff in a private room with the door closed. Because I love you too much then to say, oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. No, I'll go hard after your value and your honor and put something in you to show you who you really are and how you're selling so cheap and short and learning to live self-centered and self-desiring and feeding your own. And I'll expose all that stuff in that little room with that door closed. And I'll come out like it is. And you'll either leave mad or broken and changed. I've seen both responses. Honestly, I've seen the changed way more than the mad. You know why? Because I don't have a need to be right in your life. I absolutely love you. Do you see that? Do you see the difference? If I just have a need to set you straight, there's not a lot of grace. There's not a lot of revelation following that. There's that motive's not, that's just flesh talking to flesh. Man, I could just cry. The honor for Him to put His heart in us, to see you for what you're worth, so that when I touch you, even if I have to be straight and sharp, I'm always going to touch you right then. Even if you don't want to hear what I'm saying, and even if I'm trembling in what I have to say, I know where it's coming from. And I know in my conscience that I love you then. And I have the grace to say it, and grace will be on. Does that make sense? It's not, hey, you need to knock it off. Don't you know what the Bible says? That's why there's wars and fights, and people can't receive and have walls and defense. Because we're touching people outside of love then. That's why this thing we're talking about is so important. Because if this becomes your reality, then it's all you live through and see through. And it doesn't matter how twisted a situation is, you can see them for who they really are. And when you touch them, your whole purpose is to rescue that and bring that out. Even if you have to get harsh, even if you have to get, I've been that way. There's ways I've been in a private setting with a Christian that you have never seen me. Because life's hanging in the balance. This thing is serious because sometimes people are sugarcoating and shot, and you got to jerk them back to reality sometimes. Do you get what I'm saying? The Bible says that we need to have discernment and know the difference. Some you save with compassion. Some you're snatching out of the fire. But if your heart's not redeemed in this, you'll just let your feelings of frustration say, well, I was just snatching them out of the fire. No, there was just a strange fire burning in you because the way you're seeing their life and being touched by their life, and you're trying to set them straight is what you're trying to do. Come on, you all get what I'm saying? There's a big difference between trying to set somebody straight and snatch them out of the fire. Like if you're feeling frustrated by somebody's life, man, don't even talk to them about the situation. Get a grip on your heart because you're not the one to talk to them. If you've already talked to two or three people and shared your it's because you're hurting. You're being bothered by them. You're not the voice to turn and go tell them what needs to change because you're already influenced in a not a good way. Do you see what I'm saying? These things are healthy. I don't know. This is just little things we're throwing out there. I guess they come with a package of what's called school. Isn't it amazing? It's this little stuff that comes out. It keeps you sharp thinking this way. And sharing these little nuggets will keep you clear in your motive. And we'll have better effectualness in our relationships and our counsel. Does it all make sense what we're saying here? Okay. I know it sounds like a lot, but some of you don't try to just grab everything. One lady upstate this weekend, she said, pastor got up and said, well, guys, we got a bunch of CDs available. We made them $3 a piece, so you can just get them all. We just want you to get them all because I myself tried to take notes on Friday. He said, 5 minutes, I just dropped my pen and said, what am I trying to do? And I heard the girl behind me say, my notes don't even make sense. So I heard her say it to her husband. She said, I just went over my notes. They don't even make sense. I don't even have a clue. I just got it. We got to get the CDs, honey. I have notes. They don't even make sense. You loved it Friday. The Word of God. I preached like the whole Bible in an hour. It was amazing. It was a... And I never opened it. I never even turned back to the platform. I opened my Bible, stepped up here, and went, bam, pow, pow, boom. And the pastor went, that's the Word. Oh, yeah, that's the Word. And it just... It was really fun. It was like, oh, it was like, oh, oh. It was so fun. It was like a little burp at the end, a little smoke, you know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It was, when your notes don't make sense, you're in the middle of crossfire, baby. And you're grabbing this and missing all this and grabbing this. And you're like, what? It's just funny. But if you just saw the effects of that, a man was driving by the church and felt like he should come in. Had no clue who I was. Pastor Dan Moeller, Friday night, da-da-da. He drove by, and when he went by, he felt like, I'm going to go in. He just felt like coming in. He came in, had a tremendous root of bitterness in his life. And every reason why it should be there and rooted. And he had every root in place. And I'm sitting there, and he's going... He never got to talk to me Friday. He kind of left like this. Serious. He said he just left. Came back Saturday and sat there. Came up to me. When you were talking, I was changing inside. And he said, I have this root of bitterness for years, and I'm going to talk to you about it. And I looked at him, and I could see his eyes, his tears, and the way he was talking. And I said, sir, I said, you might have had a root of bitterness. You don't have a root of bitterness. He said, well, you know, I left and I knew I wasn't the same. I woke up this morning and I can't even explain how I feel, and the ability to talk to God and the hunger that's in my heart and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He was just changed. No counsel, no nothing. He just sat there and heard the Word, and the Word just circumcised him. It was beautiful. And I said, you don't have a root of bitterness. If anything, there might be a little bruise in your heart of what took place. But I see God's just, he's just soothing that. And he said, he laughed, he cried, we hugged, and he walked out. He had a home church somewhere that he was playing a piano at or playing a guitar at in a morning service. And he said to me, so funny, he said, my life's changed. I'm free. Should I come here tomorrow? And I said, well, I don't know if you should come here tomorrow. I said, do you have a home church? He said, well, I'm supposed to be at a church I was going to play. I forget if you said a piano or guitar. And I said, well, why are you asking me if you should come here? I'm like, well, how do I ask? He's like, should I come here tomorrow? I said, no, you just go with the truth, man. Guess what this man did? My buddy, the guy that went with me, I took a young guy from the city with me this weekend. He saw Denny in the morning. He came to the early service. And as soon as I was done preaching, he got up and bolted out because he had to go to this church. So he came to catch the morning, and phew, that's how impacted he was. And that's hunger. This is beautiful. But that's the power of God's Word. And that's how the Lord and the Spirit of God is working in the hearts of men. So watch this. There's a point to what I'm saying. I didn't even really know the point. I just thought it was a cool story. But now I see the point. I'm way late. I look like I know what I'm doing most of the time. You have no idea. I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time. It just makes sense as I roll. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Oh, I see. And, but here's the deal. The clearer I walk in truth, the purer my motive, the clearer my heart in ministering that truth, the greater anointing of revelation and all that carries to produce the very thing that's live in me, right? So here I am. Watch. Here I am in that place in Warren, PA. A guy's driving by that needs the very message that lives in me. And God just breathes into him and gets him to turn in and walk in the building. If I was just there preaching whatever, if that wasn't real in me, If I was just there doing whatever else, or I didn't have that reality in me, I'm not sure there's anybody getting pulled into anywhere. Here's what I'm saying. As your life gets formed in this thing that we're talking about, called the love of God, God can divinely connect, direct. He has people everywhere that are little bus stops for people to get picked up. Do you get it? It's so good. Isn't that good? You'd be amazed. You're just pumping gas and you get talking and the person just starts talking. And next thing you know, and boom, bam, mm. And they're imparted to. Just driving down the road. Coming in the church. I don't know about you, but I like that. That's God ordained. Amen? Amen. I still don't read Proverbs 2, but I want to read this and then we're going to go where we need to go. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. So you got to honor the word above how you feel. Okay, I can't say it any other way. I don't know any other way. Pastor, if you can help me say it any other way, please jump in. But there comes a point in your life where you have to, just by sheer honor, just even discipline yourself, you have to take what God's word is saying and the message sent through Jesus Christ and wrap that around your identity, no matter how you feel and what your mind's saying and what your life's saying. And you have to reveal, or you have to say that he's revealed he loves me or he'd have never sent Jesus. My life has tremendous value to God. So no matter how you're tempted to see yourself and weigh yourself short, God's not saying that about you. And there comes a point where faith has to accept that and say, you know what? I'm treasuring what you're saying about me above everything else that's trying to speak against that. Because all those things are deception. They're all natural, maybe, realities, but they have nothing to do with my spiritual journey or the journey of truth that I'm on. They'll just keep me from getting there because I'll keep weighing myself short. So if God says he loves you through Jesus Christ, you have to settle that. When does a man just stop and say, you know what? You have to love me or you wouldn't have sent your son. I see people fighting with the love of God, wrestling with the love of God. Yeah, but I don't know how, but I don't feel, but because of, and they got all these reasons why he can't or maybe not love them. I had a lady on my message machine last night. Could you call me? You know, I was going to pray to God, but I'm not even sure if he'd hear me. If somebody be honest in this room, you would maybe say, I've been through a season like that where I wasn't even sure if he even hears me, right? Regis is really humble. He shoots his hand up. Oh, you don't see him. He's in the back, and that's awesome. I so appreciate your heart. But see, we've been through these things. Why? Because the war that's going on here, the war is very prevalent. Satan's trying to keep you from truth because truth makes you free. He's so afraid of the gospel. He's so afraid of who you are because of the gospel. He was played like a pawn to open a door of salvation and us to be transformed. He's trying to keep that from happening. He's trying to keep you from seeing what he knows. Come on, it's simple. That's his mission. To keep you from seeing what he knows. It's such an intimate gospel. It's not a prayer to go to heaven. You all know that. It's such an intimate thing. But see, you have to what? Receive his words. Not your thoughts and feelings. A lot of our thoughts and feelings that come are directed in, they're a counterproductive thing. A lot of times they're not in agreement with truth until we pursue that truth to a degree where Holy Spirit begins to touch that. And that's what we're going to try to accomplish this whole week. I might camp in a certain place this whole week. You might be amazed. That's why I said, stay with me this week and just understand what the Lord's trying to put in us. You treasure my commands within you. Come on, do you hear that? That's amazing. I've spent a lot of time, especially when I first got saved, I so honored the Word of God when I first got saved and it started coming alive to me. I was like, this is my answer for life. There's no other answer. I started to find that His wisdom was here and Christ was His wisdom. And I started to just treasure it. I can't even tell you, I was reading my Bible when I first got saved. I had it with me everywhere I went. Lunch breaks, any little time. I had to wait for a forklift to come and move something out of the racks at work. I'm sitting there reading. I'd call him on the intercom. I need you at slot L, you know, whatever, 5212, and waiting for a put down, and I'd hang up. And, you know, they didn't always come right away. They weren't like, yes, sir. They were like, man, I'm busy. I got other things. And they would finally show up. I'm sitting there. I got a half a chapter in my heart already. I'm like, they're like, man, you're always reading that book. The boss came to me and said, I'm concerned for you, man. He said, all you ever do is read the Bible. He said, it's going to make you so narrow-minded. I said, you got it. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. He was being cynical. He was concerned for me. He was like trashing the Bible. He was like, man, you need to be more open for other ideas and other faucets of wisdom and truth. And yeah, he said, I'm concerned for you. All you've been doing is reading your Bible. You've got to get so narrow-minded. I think I am so on the right course. There was a group of Christians that were afraid for me because I was so zealous and excited. So the group of Christians got together because they were concerned about some of my beliefs about healing and even my revelation on communion. They were like, ugh. So they out of care for me, love for me, because I was a new baby Christian. They got in agreement. It was like six of them, seven of them, to pray for me that God would give me understanding. The guy came up to me and said, I just want to let you know, we appreciate that you got saved and stuff, but we are so concerned. He expressed his concerns and just how we're responding is we've just decided we're getting together. But now his motive was God change his mind. God make him see like, but the prayer they were praying was give him understanding. Their motive was, but they're praying, God, would you give Dan understanding? Would you illuminate his eyes? Would you open up his heart to see the truth? When they were praying that, they were thinking to see what we believe. But they would pray to see the truth. I got so fired up. I thought, man, the boss is prophesying over me. He ain't even saved. The Christians are praying for me and they're concerned and they're absolutely throwing me right into the revelation of God. I'm like, the boss is saying, you're going to become narrow-minded. He didn't say, thus says the Lord, but it worked for me, baby. Isn't that cool that the world can even catch this thing? If I'm only reading the Bible, I'm going to be narrow-minded. Exactly. You need to settle that. You need to treasure. Learn to treasure. Treasure His command within you. Because you've been programmed. You've been programmed your whole life. And even after the gospel came, still in agreement with that thing we've been programmed in. To think negative, demeaning, condemning, put down. A lot of people, even after they're saved, look in the mirror and don't feel good about themselves. And every reason that they have for that is apart from the gospel. You ought to feel so good about yourself, even if there's things in your life that aren't worked out yet. Because Christ has come to reveal the truth about you, the destiny about you, the purpose of God about you. You are so in this thing and not out. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's about what's right with you and what God sees about you. If you don't start there, you won't finish. You'll just... I tell people all the time, the only thing that's wrong with me is He loves me. And they go, well, He loves me. I'm so worth His love. I am so worth His love. Why? Because He loves who He made me to be, not who I've been. And that's what He's working to mold in me and shape in me. So if I get hung up on who I've been, I'll never agree with God with who I'm created to be. Do you get what I'm saying? So I have to accept, while we were yet sinners, one of the biggest deals is while we were yet sinners, He sent the Son. So the weakness you're locating in your life probably doesn't bother God right now unless you make it such an issue that you can't get to Him or receive from Him or hear from Him. Do you see what I mean? While you were yet a sinner, He sent the Son. So sin wasn't even the issue. Sin couldn't stop Him from sending the Son. When sin abounded, grace abounded how much more? Much. Do you follow me? So let's not get all, your hearts aren't looking for some easy, greasy grace thing we were talking about earlier, right, Joan? That's not even a concern for you guys. That's why I can talk this plain. I can talk this plain to you guys. You'd probably have to word it different in different groups, need different discernment. God would probably address it different ways. But it is not about sin. It is about your redemption and righteousness. It's about you being sons and daughters. It's about you allowing God to work effectually in you through the new and living way. It's about you thinking totally different about yourself and getting in agreement with God saying, because Christ came. And the fact that Christ came reveals the language of God. When you look at Christ, you see the heart of God, the motive of God towards your life. Jesus Christ given defines your value. Period. Period. You start there, you stay there, and you get formed in Christ. Okay? You got a question?
Yeah.
Lift your voice. You have such a question.
Doesn't this just go back to the perversion of humility?
Oh, wow, that's excellent. Tammy just said, doesn't this all go back to the perversion of humility? Man, that's a hot topic. That would be a whole day right there. You could camp on that. Let me make it simple, actually. Humility receives. Pride resists. Pride says, you shouldn't have. Okay, somebody sees your value. Somebody knows Daniel. They love Daniel. They see his value, and they want to bless him. And they've been tracking his life and watching him grow and mature as a fine young man. And they think, I just want to bless Daniel. And they go buy him actually something extravagant. Just because they see his value, they want to encourage him. It's a statement of, your life blesses me. I love you. Keep running well. Man, I am so blessed with the man you've growing into being. I just want to bless you. And they come and bring him something extravagant. And he's like, oh, you shouldn't have. It would be like them handing it to him and he never opens it. That's not humility. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, well, And you put it down. No, you recognize why they did it, what they see in your life and what they're trying to say. And with humility, you open it and go, wow, well, thank you. Oh, my goodness. I'm so humbled by this. Thank you. And you put it on. Say it's just an extravagant, some kind of something. And he puts it on and it's just, and he loves it. It's something he always wanted to wear or have. And it just might not be the best example, but and he puts it on. He goes, wow. You get what we're saying? There's a false sense of humility. Humility receives. The clearest thing is humility receives. Pride resists. You get it? There is a false sense of humility. Sometimes in the church we think to talk ourselves low is to lift God up. God's heart is to lift us up and seat us in heavenly places with Christ and make us one. God's heart is to fill us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. God's heart is we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and who he predestined, he called, who he called, he justified, who he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to this? If God's for us, who can possibly be against us? Only your own mind. Right? Oh, where's my Bible? I'm so pumped. I need my Bible. It's a school. I'm having so much fun. Thanks for letting me be here. I am having fun. I hope you guys are having fun because I'm like saved and saved again. I feel sharp. I do. I feel sharpened. It blesses me to be able to preach like this and talk like this and take our time. So we're treasuring his commands within us. We're inclining our ear to wisdom. Now, the most beautiful point was brought out that Christ is the wisdom of God. So we're going to look at what wisdom is here in a second. That's what I said. Be patient with me because we're going to take our time and break some things down. So don't be in a hurry. It's not about just hearing a sermon that stirs you up. It's about learning and understanding. So apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, here's a promise. If you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. Yes, if you seek her as silver, wow, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you hear the promise? Now here's the key. Do you see why we shared some of the things in the beginning? You don't want that to be a desperate cry, as if you're such a loser, you so need His discernment. Because then you're just troubleshooting. You're coming from the place of where I'm not. And that's what a lot of people are trapped praying in. God, when will you just open my eyes? God, when will you just... And it is a desert because you have so labeled yourself as nothing, as having nothing. Are you kidding me? You have the gospel. You have the... You're awesome. Dude, that's amazing. He's got my little break sign up there. I'm looking over. It's so inconspicuous. It's so inconspicuous and awesome, I have to expose it. It's too cool. He's just sitting there and nobody knows it, man. He's got his notepad flip break. So if he didn't do that, we'd be just, we love you. Because some of us might have to go to the bathroom. But do you see where you have to build on what's been made right, not pray because of what's wrong? Yeah. I'm reiterating a point we made a long time ago. Because then it reduces your prayers to a desperate cry. Not understanding that your greatest blessing is discernment and understanding and all my getting. Father, it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I'm crying out to you and lifting my voice. I must see what you see. You've qualified me through Christ. You've accepted me through the Son. I'm yours. I'm yours. I thank you for revealing all things to me and opening up my heart to see what you see. I thank you that you reveal the life of Christ and Holy Spirit. You show me all these things and make them real to my heart. That's what it means to cry out for this, not God, you know, God, you got to give me understanding because I'm such a dummy. God, you got to give me discernment because I'm so blind and deceived. God, come on. That's how people pray. And their prayer has nothing to do with faith. Their prayer is nothing but a desperate cry because they have themselves so crushed in their own soul, so judged, so labeled, so less than. And they're nothing but troubleshooting, and the problem is inspiring them to pray instead of God's goodness and grace and the message of the Christ. Come on, this stuff will help you to pray and receive and not be frustrated. Because then you're just on this long journey. When will God answer my prayer? When will God land on me? When will my eyes go, yes? That is not the way it works. True humility, no matter how you feel, says, you know something about me I feel like I have yet to see. You have released a faith or an expression or even a gesture of something towards my life and about my life that I believe you're unveiling. And God, I am so willing to be loved by you. I am so ready to see all that you see about me. You could pray even at that level, in that sense where you're just being honest, but yet you're not being derogatory. Please don't put yourself down ever. It breaks my heart and hurts my heart. I was with somebody not a long time ago and they did something. They said, oh, you dummy. And they were calling themselves a dummy. And I'm like, stop that. I wanted to grab them and shake them. I said, what are you doing? Stop that. You're not a dummy. You made a mistake. You're not a dummy. Because if you think you're a dummy, come on. Now you're just a dummy and you're praying, but what can you receive? Because you're a dummy. And you're praying all the right stuff and you're empty and you don't have a relationship. You're a dummy. Come on, think with me. You're not a dummy. I don't care if you did something dumb. You're not a dummy. You're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's so much more to you. Don't lay yourself a foundation of that and then cry out for... You're not a dummy trying to get help. You're created in the image of God. And God's teaching you and giving you understanding. Please don't put yourself down. Because Jesus doesn't say that about you ever. If Jesus thought that way about you based on your actions, he would have never came. The fact that he came shows that he sees in a way higher grace than we've ever looked through sometimes. And we have to take a break. Go ahead.
Isn't Jesus our identity? He's no dummy.
Right. And he's who...
That's who
He has seen the worth and the value in our lives to such a degree that He became a man to give Himself for us so that He could become one with us. So He knows your potential, your destiny, your creative value in such a way that it compelled Him, love compelled Him to die for us so we could live. Because He knows the truth about us. And if you were a dummy, He wouldn't have did that. You say, yeah, but I just do such knuckleheaded things. Okay. Not maybe not disagreeing. Maybe you have done some knuckleheaded things. But if you continue to say, I'm a dummy, you'll continue to do those things and say, see, that's what I am. And then the actions keep identifying the identity, and it's a vicious cycle. And after a couple years, your heart gets callous and dies, and you think there's no hope for you because you're just a dummy, because you just do dumb things. Right? So we're looking out here and we're saying, well, because I did this, this, and this, because we commit an act of sin and go, oh, and our hearts hurt. And then the devil quicks comes in and our hearts hurt. We're like, oh, well, you ought to rejoice that you go, oh, because there's light in your life. The gospel's distinguished something. You're not deceived anymore. And in that light, your heart cares. So are you a sinner? Or did you step into an act of sin? Period. Right. Bingo. We think because we have the ability to sin, we're sinners. And then we continue to release the power to sin. Are you guys getting this? You're not a sinner. Your sons, your daughters, the greater you build that in your spirit and in your heart through communion with God, the more you'll bear the fruit of a son and a daughter. And then that fruit, that's a beautiful cycle. You bear fruit of a son because you're a son. Why do you do this? How do you live that way? Because I'm a son. Not because you're trying to be a son. You're not taking a test and see if you pass. You've already passed because He already raised from the dead. You already passed. You already have an A plus. You're an A plus. You're an A plus. I just saw you and a plus popped up. We're A's. I look at you. You're an A plus.
That's weird that you say that. Hallelujah.
You're an A plus on your report card. When your test comes, God, he's passed. She passed with flying colors. Why? Because you passed through the blood. You passed through the Christ. And the truth about Jesus is in Christ. Period. And if you see yourself any other way, you'll bear fruits of weakness and this and that. And then the voice will say, see who you are. See you're still. And then you'll be trying to get back to being a son. And you've never not been one. Do you get this? We got to go take a break. Take a break. Somebody bolted when I said that. Who got up and ran? Thank you, Jesus. Doors banging, bathroom doors flying. Oh, God, you're awesome.